Hallelujah. It is time for us to open our Bibles this morning. The title of today's message is simply The Saints. The Saints. And no, we're not going to be talking about a football team from New Orleans. Instead, we are going to be talking about saints, who they are, and what they do according to Scripture. I know that it's a term that we hear sometimes, and it can mean different things to different people of different religious persuasions and denominations. So what I'm very interested in is, what does the Bible have to say about the saints? And to get some insight into that, we're going to be spending some time in the Psalms this morning. I hope you enjoy the Psalms, because you're getting a four-pack. We're going to be starting in Psalm 97 to begin with. Before we read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, for this precious gift from above. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us this book where we can learn of thee, we can be guided by thee, we can be strengthened by thee, we can find hope in thee, we can find restoration in thee, we can find all the truth that we desperately need in this world. We can find it within the pages of thy holy word, and we thank thee, Lord, for this blessed opportunity to come before thee and to study thy scripture. We pray, Lord, that thou would anoint our hearts and anoint our minds and make us ready to receive thy word. We pray that thou would give us the ability to discern and understand thy word. We pray that every line and every verse would have a deep impact on our hearts, on our minds, in the very core of our souls. We pray, Lord, that thou would lead us this day through this spiritual journey, and we pray that there be no hindrances whatsoever, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art God Almighty, there is none like thee, and there is none beside thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless this special time in thy word, and give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Psalm 97, that's where we will begin today. Now, if you look up the word saint in the dictionary, it's going to give you a few definitions. The first of which says, any of certain persons of exceptional holiness of life formerly recognized as such by the Christian church, especially by canonization, a person of great holiness, virtue, or benevolence, a founder, sponsor, or patron as of a movement or organization in certain religious groups, a designation applied by the members to themselves. So we have various definitions of saint in the dictionary, and sometimes when someone is a particularly good or virtuous person in comparison to other people, and none are good in comparison to God except for the goodness that he instills in us, but sometimes if a person has a good character and they do nice things, someone will say of that person, oh, he's a real saint. Well, that may or may not be the case. What does the Bible say about the saints? And one of the things I like about Psalm 97 is that it's actually going to help us define the term saint according to Scripture. Let's look at this. Psalm 97, and we're going to start with verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Well, now that is a reason to rejoice this morning. The Lord reigneth. Amen. The Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords and always will be. He will not be taken over. He will not be expelled from his throne or his majesty in heaven. He is God Almighty and the Lord reigns. Praise the Lord. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. You think about what surrounds his throne. What is the ambiance of his throne in heaven? Well, there's righteousness and perfect judgment. We need to understand that God is the ultimate righteous judge, and he has a perfect sense of justice. You know, people sometimes have a skewed sense of justice, But the Lord has a perfect sense of justice, which is why he is the one who is qualified to be that ultimate judge. Now, I know that the scriptures do tell us to judge righteous judgment, and what that means is that we judge all things by this book, not our own opinions. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 3, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. You know, when God demonstrates his power, it is unmatched by any force in the entire universe. It's a remarkable thing. And he showed his power to Elijah the prophet one day. He led Elijah to Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, that same mountain where Moses encountered the Lord with that burning bush and was later given the Ten Commandments. But Elijah had an experience there too. And what happened? In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, it says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. God is Almighty, has an unlimited amount of power. He can do marvelous things, and people tremble at his demonstrations of power. And yet he still speaks to his people in that still, small voice. Isn't that a remarkable thing? People always imagine the Lord speaking in a powerful, frightening manner. You know, they demonstrate that in movies and in TV shows, things of that nature. But while God can speak that way, to his people, to the ones that he loves, he'll often speak to us in a still, small voice. And sometimes it's not even an audible voice, but it's a voice that speaks within you, speaking to your heart and prompting you to do things. And what makes that happen? It's God's Spirit living within us. So yes, he can demonstrate his power in magnificent ways. The hills might melt like wax in his presence. Verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. You know, a lot of times people will look up into the sky and they'll see the stars, they'll see the sun, they'll see the moon, they'll see the planets in their various orbits. Not all of which are visible all the time, but during certain cycles they are. And a lot of times people don't even realize what they are looking at. Those things declare the righteousness of God, and they declare his glory. When we look up at his creation, and not just that, but everything he made, we are seeing his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Notice here, gods, there is a little g there because there's only one God. But you have these people who try to make their own gods. They make a god, they carve it out of wood or stone, and then they worship it. And we know that the Israelites got into trouble when Moses was up on the mountain, Mount Sinai there. The Lord was giving him the Ten Commandments, and they got restless, not sure where Moses was or if he was ever coming back. So they went and they found Aaron, and they told him to make them gods. And sadly, he did it. He should have known better. But he gave into that pressure, and he made them a golden calf, and they were dancing around it. And they had already broken the Ten Commandments before Moses was able to bring them down from the mountain. For we know that the first one is, thou shalt have no other god before me. We also know that we are not to make any graven images. But these people will make these gods, and they'll trust in these gods. But the scriptures here in Psalm 97, it says that all those who worship these so-called gods will be confounded. They'll be confused. They'll be perplexed. Verse 8, Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced. And by the way, I want to tell you something about these so-called gods that other religions worship. Sometimes they'll have a whole pantheon of deities, even today. But all of these so-called gods are really devils in disguise. You know how we know that? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 17 tells us, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Those so-called gods are actually devils. Now continuing on here in Psalm 97, it says, Zion heard and was glad, and the daughter of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Amen. He has the final say and the final authority in all things. Ye that love the Lord and hate evil, he preserveth the souls of his saints. Now remember I said that this psalm was going to help us define the term saint according to scripture. Who are the saints? They who love the Lord and hate evil. And we are preserved by the Lord. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And yes, he does preserve his people. It doesn't mean you won't face challenges in this life. It doesn't mean you won't face trouble. There's many challenges, and there's a lot of trouble. But the Lord is with us every step of the way. Verse 11, light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know, the saints are really supposed to be a holy people and a people who are set apart. And you can look at various New Testament verses as well that talk about the saints. What does it tell us about saints in the New Testament? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So saints are sanctified people. In fact, the word saint is derived from a Latin word, sanctus, the sanctified, the set apart, the holy ones of God. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the saints are called by God, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. And we know that saints are faithful to Jesus. For in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And saints are the very household of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 tell us, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So yes, the saints are the household of God. The saints are the called out ones. And the saints are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. For Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 tells us, Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So now that we've defined the term saint, what do saints do? Well, let's look at Psalm 30. Psalm 30, and we will start with verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. What does extol mean? Extol means to highly praise. It's not just ordinary praise, but it is highly exuberant praise. Praise the Lord. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Oh, he's able to heal us. He's able to fix us when we are broken. He's able to put us back together and put us back together properly. Amen. You know, when we come to the Lord, we come to him broken. We fall on that rock, Christ Jesus, and everything we were becomes shattered, but he puts us back together the way we need to be. He's able to heal our bodies. He's able to heal our broken hearts. He's able to restore his people. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. So this is one of the things the saints do. They sing unto the Lord. They worship the Lord. They glorify the Lord. They praise the Lord. They extol the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There are going to be times when maybe you're going through some struggles, and you might even find yourself weeping at times. And weeping may endure for a night. You may go through those hard times, but the Lord will get you through them. And when they're over, then comes in that joy, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. You know, it's easy to say in your prosperity that you'll never be moved.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a little harder to say it when you're not maybe going through a prosperous time in your life.
Yeah.
But he's able to keep you. He's able to steady you. He's able to establish you in the faith, no matter what you're facing.
Amen.
Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. You know, it doesn't feel good when it seems like the Lord is far away. And sometimes that's our perception. But he's not really far away. He's nearby. He's with his people. And his presence can be felt. One of the things you can do to feel the presence of the Lord is to worship and praise him.
Amen.
For he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes. Amen.
Verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Pit, they are referring to the grave. Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And there is nothing wrong with asking the Lord to help you. In fact, he is our helper. For as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Not only can we say that the Lord is our helper, we can boldly say that the Lord is our helper. We can say it with confidence, knowing from experience that it is true. And if the Lord helped you before, he's able to help you now and able to help you again in the future. He's the best helper you could ever have.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Verse 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. You know, sackcloth was something that they used to wear in times of mourning. It was uncomfortable. I'm sure it was very itchy, but often what they would do when they were either mourning or they were in a state of repentance, they would sit in sackcloth and ashes. But here, the psalmist is saying, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So one of the things that the saints do is they worship the Lord. They praise the Lord. They glorify his name. And they are thankful because we know that we are lost without him. We know that we would have no hope without him. Now we're going to continue on in Psalm 31. Psalm 31 verse 1 tells us, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And that's another thing the saints do. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. Isn't that quite the vivid imagery there? Bow down thine ear to me. That's quite a thought. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, Almighty God in heaven, taking the time to listen to you specifically, to hear your cries, and to help you. Now, that doesn't mean he takes orders from you. That's not what our God does. But he does hear our cry, and he takes note of our sorrow. And he is there to help us when we need him most.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Then you can never go wrong putting your trust in the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So here, the psalmist, and this is a psalm of David, he's asking the Lord to hear his cries. Bow down thine ear to hear. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. And we know that the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is our strong rock, our firm foundation. We build our lives on him. There's no better rock that you could possibly build your life upon. Praise the Lord. There's no better foundation than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. David was a man who had a better understanding than most of what it's like to have enemies who were constantly trying to trap him, trip him up, catch him in their nets. But he knew that the Lord was with him. Think of all the things that the Lord brought David through. He had to face King Saul, who was jealous of him and tried to kill him and chased after him and pestered him, did everything he could to upend him. And of course, we know that David had to contend with the Philistines, and he had to contend with other warring tribes around Israel, and he had to contend with his own contentious family at times. He had many enemies, but he understood that his strength was in the Lord. And people might try to trick you, they might try to trap you, they might try to snare you, but just remember that your strength is in the Lord. And he's able to pull you out of the net.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. What should we do when maybe we don't have the answers and we're not sure what to do next? We turn to the Lord and we commit our lives to him. Commit our lives into his hands. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. And that's something we all can do and should do. Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, vanities being worthless things, worthless lies, lying vanities. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Oh, you think of the mercy of God. And there's an ample supply of his mercy available for each and every one of us. His mercy and his grace. And he has been merciful towards us, and he is merciful to those who are merciful to others. That's another concept we find in Scripture and talked about a few weeks ago. He considers our trouble. And he knows our soul in adversities. And sometimes we get so anxious. We have so much anxiety. But the Lord has the answer all along. He knows what to do. And you can let that still small voice speak to your heart. And God's Spirit will guide you and direct you. Verse 8, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Well, generally, it's better to have your feet set in a large room than a small room. Because if you're in a small room, you don't have very much room to walk around. You don't have freedom of motion. You might be in an uncomfortable situation. But in a large room, you have the ability to move around. You have space around you, and that's far more comfortable. Verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Well, David understood trouble. And this is a very succinct statement here. He's telling the Lord, I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Oh, he went through a lot. And one of the ways he was able to find encouragement was through these psalms that he wrote, which were actually songs. And like we talked about, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And so you'll find a lot of times that many of these psalms, it's almost like a battle, almost like a tug of war, where you talk about your grief and your sorrow and your pain, but then you remember that the Lord is good and he's there to help you and to strengthen you and to lift you up and to uphold you. You see that time and time again in the psalms. And it's almost it's a good equivalent of what the scriptures tell us to do to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, we go through these battles, but we remember that the Lord is with us to help us and to bring us through. Verse 11, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. Oh, when things were going poorly for him, people didn't even want to be around him. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. You may feel like a broken vessel sometimes, but just remember that the Lord is the potter and we are the clay, and he's able to put you back together again. He's able to restore a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many, fear was on every side. And while they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Notice he's expressing his grief, his sorrow, his complaints here. But then, you'll notice here in verse 14, it says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. He understood where his hope was. So he put his very life in the hands of the Lord. My times are in thy hand. Verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. And yes, he's able to shine upon his people with that glorious light of heaven. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. We know that all lying lips will be put to silence in due time. And what happens? They go to the grave. Those graves are silent, and those souls are somewhere else. Verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. You see, he's remembering the goodness of the Lord, the help from the Lord, the strength he finds in the Lord. And it is a good thing to sit and reflect on the goodness of God. Now, that goodness of God is not for everyone. This specific goodness is for those that fear the Lord. When it says fear there, it means have a healthy respect for God. And if you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anything else. For that fear of the Lord delivers you from fear of the world, fear of the enemy, fear of the devil. Fear the Lord, you don't have to fear any of that. We have that healthy respect for God, for he is our creator, he is our maker, he is the potter, we are the clay. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. For those that fear the Lord, for those that trusted him. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God does have a refuge for his people. We can go to him for comfort and strength when we need it the most. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. The kindness of the Lord is unlike any other kindness. In fact, David here is calling it marvelous kindness. Something to marvel at. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Yes, he hears our cries. You may go through grievous times in your life. It's almost a certainty that we all will at some point. But when you do, trust the Lord, call upon him. He will help you and he will deliver you. Now in verse 23 it says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. You see, that's another thing that the saints do. They love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. And the Lord preserves the faithful. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. In other words, the proud doer is going to receive, I guess you could call it punishment, their just reward in this case, for their proud deeds. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And again, that is something that the saints do. They trust the Lord. They put their hope in the Lord. And they love the Lord. Now let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, this is another psalm of David. We're going to start with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, this is something we should all do. Bless the Lord at all times. If you bless the Lord at all times, that means you don't just bless the Lord when everything is going great, when everything is prosperous, there's no problems in your life, everything is smooth sailing. Yes, you can bless the Lord during those good times, but we also bless the Lord in the bad times when everything's going wrong. Because it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And sometimes it is difficult. You have to put some effort into praising the Lord when things are going poorly. But in that case, it can be a sacrifice. For Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16 tell us that in the new covenant, we offer a different kind of sacrifice. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 tell us, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we keep praising the Lord even when you feel weak and tired and you feel like you have no strength. You still put that effort in. And God honors that. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You know, it is a powerful thing to praise and worship the Lord. And it is an even more powerful thing when you do it with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's as if that praise is multiplied in strength. And so we can exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Well, if you have any fear in your life that shouldn't be there, just know that the Lord is able to deliver you from your fears. What do you need to do? Seek the Lord. When you seek the Lord, he'll hear you. And when you cry out to God in faith, he'll deliver you. And remember, perfect love casteth out fear. When he puts that love in your heart, that will help you overcome that fear that may trouble you in your life. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. That word lightened there is an interesting way to express what he's saying here. Lightened in this context means to be radiant or brightened or cheered. Those who trust in the Lord will be delivered from their fears and they will be lightened. You know, fear is a burden, and the Lord is able to lighten that load. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Well, you know, we know that in some of these songs, David was talking about how he was in trouble. And here, he's talking about how the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now, isn't that quite a thought? God has an angel assigned to you. They are assigned to all of God's people, and you may not always see them. You may not know they're there, but his angels are encamped round about you. And God puts a hedge of protection round about his people. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Yes, you can taste, you can see that the Lord is good. You can experience the goodness of the Lord. You can be blessed of the Lord if you trust in him. Now watch this in verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. So that's another thing that the saints do. They fear the Lord. They have that awesome respect for God. And again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the key to being delivered from all your other fears. So yes, this is something that the saints do. We fear the Lord. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He's able to provide for every need that we have. He knows what we need before we even ask him. After all, he is God, and there is no limit to his understanding. There's no limit to his knowledge. He knows what you need. Sometimes he's just waiting for you to ask. Verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Well, we should be careful what we say. The scripture is very clear. Keep thy tongue from evil. We know that that tongue is a little member, but it can be set aflame of hell, that tongue. That's why we need the Lord to come in and transform us and change us, and we surrender even our very lips to the Lord. We surrender our tongue to the Lord. We surrender our mouth to God and let him give us words to speak. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. What is guile? Guile is deceitfulness or craftiness. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Now that's an interesting way to think about it. The scripture is really telling us that peace usually isn't something that just comes by itself. We pursue it. It means we have to chase after it sometimes and put some effort into finding this peace. That's interesting too, is that Peter actually quoted from this verse, but he worded it a little differently. He said, seek peace and ensue it. So pursue is something you chase, and ensue is something that follows. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Well, if you're ever in trouble, we know the one who's able to deliver us from all of our troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What does contrite mean? It means deeply sorrowful or repentance for one's sins or wrongdoings. It's a word that conveys humble remorse. And yes, we must come to the Lord in humility and cry out to him. You can't come to the Lord in pride. There's no way you can come to the Lord in pride and repent of your sins. You have to come in humility. That's the only way you can repent. But the Lord is near. He's nigh unto them. When you have a broken heart, when you have that contrite spirit, he's right there. He's able to restore you. He's able to put you back together the way you need to be. Amen. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now notice here in verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now people might read that and not necessarily like it, but it's true, isn't it? There's going to be a lot of afflictions and trouble in this life. But we also know whom we turn to. We know the one who's able to deliver us, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And that verse is actually a fulfillment, a prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who kept all of his bones, none of which were broken, even after he was crucified. You know, typically when someone was crucified on a cross, to speed up the process of death, the Roman soldiers would come and they'd break their legs. Then you couldn't push up and get breaths out anymore. And once those legs were broken, you'd die very quickly. But Jesus was already dead when the Roman soldier came to do that. And then we know that he thrust his sword into his side, and out came blood and water. But yes, this little verse here was actually a prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. It's interesting too, you know, you think of God pouring out judgment upon the wicked. But this verse, it says, evil shall slay the wicked. That means their own wickedness, their own evil, is what's going to destroy them. And those that hate God's people, they will be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You see the contrast here? Those that fear the Lord. So what do the saints do? Those set apart people, those people who are called to be holy, to be sanctified, called to be different. What do? We sing unto the Lord, we extol the Lord, we worship the Lord, we glorify his name. We offer him sacrifices of praise and worship in the new covenant. And we love the Lord. We're preserved by the Lord. We trust the Lord. And we fear the Lord. And if you continue to do that, then you can continue to be a saint. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning. Thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the encouragement we find in thy word. We thank thee for the knowledge and instruction we find in thy word. And we pray, Lord, that what we have learned here would stay with us. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to be faithful to thee. Help us to trust thee fully and completely. Help us to fear thee. Help us to be obedient to thee. Help us to obey thy commandments. And we pray, Lord, that thou would sanctify all thy people so that we may truly be thy saints. We ask, Lord, that thy blessing would be upon every person who is here in this building, every person who is listening online, and all of thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to open our chorus books in closing. Well, we just spent a lot of time in the Psalms. Why not sing one? We're going to turn to number 169 and sing, "I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever." 169 in the chorus book. I